Good morning to each of you. Greetings in Christ's name. It's a blessing to be together in a beautiful spring morning. Thank you for the song, Shane. I heard the theme of grace come out throughout those songs. And it's a blessing to me to think about that this morning. This morning I would like to lead our thoughts briefly on the grace of God. Something I've been thinking about recently, and there are different aspects of grace, and it's a huge topic. So this is just maybe more of a whet your appetite and look at it. And just my prayer is that as we look at the grace of God this morning, that it would bring us to worshiping the Lord in a spirit of humble gratitude, and that we would recognize our dependence on Him. There are different aspects of grace that we can think about. There's the grace of God in temptation that helps us overcome. There's the grace of God in trials and hardships and suffering. There's the grace of God in the everyday moments of our lives. And the grace of God leading us, most importantly, to salvation through Christ. The grace of God to do what is right and to live holy lives. And the grace of God that gives us eternal life with Him forever. Turn with me this morning to 1 Peter. I've chosen to read the first chapter in 1 Peter. It's a passage that's rich in the theme of grace, and I encourage you to, as we read this chapter, to notice how often the word grace comes through, as well as just the idea of God's grace that is implied even when it's not expressly stated. I think Peter does a beautiful job of highlighting God's grace. 1 Peter 1, verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith and salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as a flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof fadeth, falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. It's a chapter that's full of grace that we don't deserve, and full of grace that leads us to action. Verse 2 reminds us that Peter is wishing grace and peace to be multiplied to those that he is writing to. There's no shortage of grace. And so Peter can ask that it be multiplied, and there's no danger of running out. Verse 3 and 4 are a reminder of grace that comes through his mercy, through the resurrection of Christ. That doesn't stop there, but enables us to live a lively hope and an incorruptible and undefiled inheritance. It's a huge gift. Verse 5, a grace that keeps us faithful. Verse 6 and 7, a grace that keeps us through temptation and trials and suffering. Verse 8 and 9, a grace that allows us to experience a joyful rejoicing and to receive the salvation extended us through Christ. And this is a grace that the prophets prophesied of many years ago. Verse 10. Verse 13, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is a verse of intentional action. There's some action words in that verse. Gird up, be sober, hope. And that will lead us to the definition of grace when we see Jesus Christ himself. Verse 14 is a call to obedience and holiness in the light of the grace of Jesus Christ revealed to us. And in verse 22, the grace that through obedience to truth leads us to loving our fellow brother and sister with a fervent and pure heart. And without that, we won't be able to do that for the brothers around us. I don't think it's hard for any of us to see that all these different aspects of grace, of which we simply scratched the surface a little bit this morning, they don't come from within us, but rather they come straight from the Father heart of God. And my prayer is, again, that this would drive us to worshiping the Lord in humility and gratitude this morning, recognizing our dependence on him. This grace in temptation, the grace in trials and hardships and suffering, the grace in the everyday moments of our lives, in salvation itself, the ability to do what is right, and finally, the grace to give us eternal life. I'd like to, in closing, read a few other scriptures from the New Testament that speak of grace. 1 Corinthians 15:10, by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. 2 Corinthians 1:12, our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you word. 1 Peter 5:10, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. And in conclusion from Jude, the last five or six verses from Jude, starting with verse 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. May we experience and live and revel in that grace this morning. Let's kneel for prayer. Lord, we worship you this morning in light of your grace revealed to us, extended to us, shown to us in many ways of which we deserve none of it, and yet we accept gratefully. And our prayer is that we could extend that grace to those around us in tangible and practical ways. And Lord, we choose to worship you and to thank you for this abundant and amazing grace this morning. Pray that you would be the central focus of our service this morning. I pray that your blessing would rest on the Sunday school classes and the teachers. Your blessing would rest on the worship share time, as well as the singing, the prayer times, and the message. Lord, may your truth be spoken. May your grace be revealed in fuller measure this morning. And we stand in humble gratitude, receiving that grace this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.